Ella, well done. Well done. Sorry, I was looking over here instead of over here. You know, the ability to proclaim the word, particularly at your age, is a great gift in the church. As you know, when some of us were growing up before the Second Vatican Council, a layperson did not read the word. It was always the priest. But to do that at your age and to do it as well as you did, which was excellent, that'll serve you all your life, honey. There are people who, they say about public speaking, people would much rather have their fingernails pulled out than read in public or speak in public. So, wonderful. And I want to tell you that whenever such families are so active and the children are so dedicated to the learning of such things as the gospel and what the Catholic Church teaches, it makes my vocation as a pastor and as someone who was involved in a Catholic school in their parish joyful, so glad, because there's too much passivity that goes on in our culture. People are busy about many things, as the second reading says. So I want to thank the parents of Catholic school students who make the sacrifices that you do to see that your children are being evangelized and come to love what they do. You know, evangelization means, as far as the Catholic Church goes, is that I know what the Church teaches in her deposit of faith, scripture and tradition, and I love it. I love what I know. And for us as Catholics, there's so much to know, because our 2,000 years of the Catholic tradition is based on the 4,000 years of the Jewish tradition. It is, at its best, the Judeo-Catholic system that has the fullness of truth, as Saint Pope John Paul II would call it. This full revelation of the person of Jesus Christ and how the Holy Spirit continues to inform and reform and convert and cause this metanoia, a Greek word that you don't hear a whole lot in secular language, but it's a powerful word in the sacred language because it means a turnabout, a turning to God with the wholeness. And for us, that's a whole lifelong process, so that at different times and different ages, not only our chronological age, but in the decades that we pass in the particular epoch of our time, there's a challenge to have those seeds of the Holy Spirit reach fruition from our hearts and from our minds coming together, and it's a core of what we love. And depending on what's going on in the culture at the time and the society, we can become so distracted that consequently the seeds don't always land on fertile soil, or the weeds choke them off, or whatever. It's inside of a Catholic parish and involvement, and it's inside particularly of a Catholic school and Catholic catechesis for our public school students and families that faith is nurtured, that comes to us in the sacrament of baptism, and it grows and it prospers. For the purpose of, as a priest who is gifted to have a Catholic school, the vocatio, my vocation, as well as the vocation of the adults, particularly the parents and godparents and grandparents, is a care of souls. Now that's to be pastoral. That isn't exclusively to the priests and the religious. It is the task and the apostolic work, the vocatio, the vocation and the call, to be concerned about the souls of each other. And of course, for those who were married in the Catholic Church, the third vow was, before you professed your vows, the third promise that you declared that you would do from your hearts to God's hearts is, will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And of course, the bride and groom are to say, I will. And that's the hope, isn't it, for all of us, that we be faithful. God knows I hear, and I'm sure you hear it too, much to the sadness, and it always does drive me into sadness. That's my issue, anyway. It drives me to sadness, not anger, but sadness. That I hear parents say, you know, I sent my kids to a Catholic school, and today they're a Buddhist, or they don't practice the faith, or they went off into some other religion. And of course, our consolation for those when they go off into another religion is, well, at least they're involved in Christianity. And I stroke that, absolutely, at least they're involved in Christianity. But you and I know very well it's the Catholic Church, and I can get pushed back on that, I'm used to it. It's the Catholic Church that holds the fullness of truth. As St. Pope John Paul II would say, other Christian religions and other religions have shadows of the truth, but we have the fullness of Christ the light, not only because of what we know in the scriptures, but because of what the church teaches by way of faith and morals. The center, the hub of the wheel, the hub for us on the wheel of truth is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the sacramental system. That's what makes us Catholics. Everything else comes out of the truth of the real presence of Christ. And so there is an evangelization that goes on, that I have a personal relationship, something that our Protestant brothers and sisters say, of course, that they are saved. Well, a Catholic says, Christ is saving me. It's a present participle ongoing, because at any time I can refute my Catholic practice and become lethargic or deny the Catholic teaching, and I put my soul in danger, because it is a relationship of ongoing interfacing vis-a-vis, face-to-face, heart-to-heart with the person of Jesus Christ in scripture and tradition, and my involvement in the heart of Christ by way of loving what he teaches through the Catholic Church that makes me a child of the light and an evangelist to go out and give to others what we have received. So when someone says that they've gone off into another, it breaks my heart, because I honestly believe that they don't realize what they have left behind. We all know, and we hear it in the polls and so many, that X number of people, and the percentage is constantly changing, as Catholics, do not believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It doesn't impact them. So what? What does that mean? And consequently, it becomes an academic experience, a cognitive experience, instead of a heartfelt one of, I love the presence of Christ. I'm reciprocating because he first loves me. It is a serious relationship. There is an old formula that the fathers of the church used and the doctors of the church about how I stay faithful to my Catholic faith, which is to say, stay faithful to the church, which is the extension of Jesus Christ in time and space. And that is that the Eucharist plus adoration equals, in my day, it was called Catholic action. Today we call it the new evangelization. In other words, that means is I go out and I am involved in the culture and society in good works. Faith and good works is the way of the Catholic Church and Catholics expressing gratitude for the gift of faith in all that is done for me and for us by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in a Catholic school and in a Catholic parish, my concern as a pastor is the care of soul. It's important for me that the soul, that part that comes into our mother's womb when we are conceived, and that part of us that will go out of our enfleshed souls when we are dying and we go to the judgment and mercy of God, I'm always concerned of the formation of the soul. There's too much toxicity out there that is invading the soul and deadens the soul to the palpable presence and intuition and instinct of the presence of God. When we're nurturing on our soul life, I immediately know that I'm in the presence of sin and the evil one, of negativity, poison, and toxicity. I know that. St. Thomas Aquinas calls that the natural law. We have a sensibility about the darkness and knowing it. We also have a sensibility, consequently, because of baptism, of knowing to avert ourselves from that, as opposed to befriending it, if you will. It becomes a frenemy, as they say, a friend that is really an enemy, because the darkness always wants us to be enticed. But sin never makes us happy. And so my concern is that these children and young people grow up, that they're not going to be caught up in the weeds of the garden that makes them feel less than, because people who do not understand our Catholic faith bully them or woo them in some way, that if a person can't defend the faith because they don't know the faith, they're made to feel foolish. And they're given a whole other presentation by way of what other religions teach that can't compare to the fullness of truth that we have, which is why in our denomination we are called to lifelong learning, to avail myself of self-study. Getting on a computer, it can be used for many negative things, it can be used for many gracious things. So to get into a Bible study virtually, if I can't come to one in the parish, to read about the lives of the saints, to own a catechism of the Catholic Church, to gift it to people as a godparent, gift it to a Catholic couple that's getting married, gift it to someone who's being confirmed, give it to someone who's having a birthday or an anniversary, or just because that tome has the fullness of truth of what we call scripture and tradition. We are constantly to be filling ourselves up with the expression of the good news for the sake of the salvation of my soul, and not only mine, but as I grow up and out and I'm out there, I can influence someone with the fact that my anchor is my Catholic Church. My stability is my relationship with Christ and the Eucharist and the other sacraments. And the Eucharist plus adoration equals, what does Saint Irenaeus say, one of the fathers of the Church? The glory of God is man fully alive. I nurture my soul life, as you are doing here this morning, and as parents in particular do when they send their children to Catholic school. It's a nurturing so that we can avoid the evil one that was talked about in the scriptures today and have the confidence in the providence of God and the fact that we walk by sight, by faith, not by sight, as the scripture says in referred to in the second reading today from St. Paul about confidence in the journey, that God always gives me the grace. And I'm so thrilled to be in a parish that has a Catholic school. I've been in parishes that don't. It's a whole other world. It's kind of dead, to tell you the truth. Other pastors many times will say, thank God I don't have a Catholic school. Well, that's many times because of whatever, you know, forays you can get into with parents sometimes that have this issue or upset about that. Who needs that? But it goes with the program, whatever we do. There's debits and there's credits. And part of the joy is going in there and feasting on the good things that are being done and have the courage to handle and to process those things that are conflicted that need to be addressed for the sake of coming to clarity, resolution, understanding. That's a task that we have, is to walk into conflict. It's even called counseling. Counseling, the purpose of counseling is for clarity and understanding. That's what a pastor, that's what teachers, and that's what parents do for their children in a Catholic school and in CCD programs, but it begins in the family and the home. Clarity, understanding. This is who I am. I am a child of the light. I am a Christian. I am first and foremost a Catholic person. And as we say in the baptismal ritual after they've been baptized, this is our faith. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the church says, ooh, well said. It means I believe. And now we have a little, by the way, we're supposed to have our sound system in. And of course, like everything, the contractor says, I promise it will start Monday. That was last Wednesday. Well, of course, they called and said, the speakers are en route and it'll probably be another month. But they put the work in, the wiring. So hope springs eternal. We will go in now to